God, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are God, and we are not. We praise you and thank you for creating us, for creating us in your image, for recreating us, for redeeming us, for rescuing us, for ransoming us, for adopting us, for clothing us in a robe of righteousness, for imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our accounts, that we're not just forgiven, cleansed, the record of our wrong is not just removed, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his keeping the law, his fully pleasing you and satisfying the holy, righteous God of the universe has been given to us in Christ. We give you thanks. We praise you. We worship you. And we pray that our time together tonight and the rest of this weekend would conform us more to the image of your Son. We don't want to just get help on how to help other people. Help us. Change us. Visit us. Meet with us. Shake us. By your grace and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we want to talk about an issue that certainly is an issue related to counseling, but it's just an issue related to life, living the Christian life, doing life in a fallen, broken world. I want to talk to you tonight about what I think is one of the biggest sins. And as soon as you say that, most of the time our minds race to sexual sins that you see mostly in the news. But I think there is a sin that lies and flies under the radar. I call this sin of pride a feeder sin. It's a feeder sin that feeds so many other sins. Please understand, every single person that dives into the sin of sexual sin and adultery or fornication or twisted, perverted versions of sin, everyone that goes down in sexual sin is not necessarily a sex addict. Very often, people can be heading down that path, and what is feeding it and what is actually at the root of it that's driving it is pride and arrogance. Because you delight in toying with people and getting what you want, in chasing down that forbidden pleasure. And so to just rally around these people with verses about sexual purity and your body is the temple of the Lord and any other good approaches you could take towards sexual sin, if you don't address this and you don't, by God's grace, say, God, help me see what else is going on here. If you don't recognize and sniff out how often you have sitting in front of you someone who is eaten up with pride. Pride is what led them to embezzling money. Pride is what led them into adultery. Pride is what led them into this habitual anger and intimidation and must have and get what I want out of other people. People are for me to use to get what I want. And yet, if we were to play a word association game, and I'm trying to get you to think of really bad sins that we should address, probably pride isn't going to come up. So you'll think, well, we're all kind of prideful, and well, we all worry. Those are the two that we always put in that category. One day if I have some extra time, I'll work on those two. And yet pride so often. I use that booklet by Stuart Scott, From Pride to Humility. It's a little blue booklet. I hope you have it in your resource center. I assume you do. I use that all the time with my counselees. As you're working on marriage and you're just trying to sort out communication or sexual intimacy or parenting or finances or whatever, if you've got one or both people that are filled with pride and you don't address that, the hopes of good communication are really slim. The hopes of working their way through a parenting issue, a sexual issue, a finance issue, pride so often is what's at root. Now, how do I know this? Yes, I've been counseling for a while, but I've lived with me. I've been living with me. I've been living with a human being, a sinner, and I see it just as fast as I begin to try to address. And so that's why I titled this workshop, please note, Practical Steps for Killing Pride and Cultivating Humility. Notice it has the sound of never done. So it's not like, oh, hallelujah. Remember 2013, that conference? We killed pride. Had that workshop, and we had a few tips, and boom, baby, done. What else? Let's study the end times. You know? This will be one of those things that I have to constantly be working at, constantly giving it my attention, constantly asking people to pray for me and being vigilant about it. Pride is a chameleon that manifests itself in so many different ways. See, when I say pride, if you're just thinking about that man or woman that talks about themselves all the time, that's so easy to see, right? You know, the braggadocious, that's one, you know, expression of pride. Oh, well, last time I was in Germany, on the Autobahn, they drive so fast, and when you're in a Mercedes or an Audi, but that's nothing like in the Cayman Islands where I have my boat, and that's where my plane is, but I moved the plane when I merged those two businesses. Me, not you. And, you know, you can be sitting next to someone on a plane like that, and you're just like, oh, my word. Or you're just in Jiffy Lube getting your oil changed. You're just trying to make conversation. You feel like you should just jump out of your chair and say, oh, wow, I just came to get my oil changed. I had no idea you would be here. Oh, tell me more. What else have you done? Who do you know? Where have you been? I'm nothing. Okay, we all recognize that, you know. Or, you know, when you're in a social setting, and anything you start to say, they've got more, you know. You say this, they say that. You say this, they say that. You say this, they say that. No, that. We can all see that. But that's not the only manifestation of pride. There's many other ways that it manifests itself. And it just sends its tentacles into our lives. And so I hope, if you get nothing outside of this, never mind how you might use this to help a counselee, and I hope you will, because you better get it on your radar. But I hope you walk out of here with an understanding of, if I'm to finish well, and I'm 50 now, I know that's not ancient, but it does do something to you. It's like, oh man, I'm 50. I'm 50. And so I say all the time at our church and to people that know me well, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. Guess what? I hope you've picked up on this in the Bible, and it's just you look around. A lot of people don't finish well. They start well, they don't finish well. I don't want to be that guy that people say, oh, remember Brad Bigney? Oh, but, and their voice trails off. You know, it didn't end well. I'm convinced to finish well, I better be doing battle with pride and being asking God, show it to me, show it to me, show it to me, show it to me, all my days, all my days, all my days. Help me to see this, God. Help me to see this, God. And so I'm going to talk some about this, and I hope give you what I hope will be some practical ways. Anybody can do a sermon or a Sunday school lesson on pride's bad. James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Don't want to be proud. Yeah, we'd all agree. The struggle comes with, but how do I recognize it and how do I go about keeping it at bay and putting it to death? That's what I think is the biggest challenge, is what I want to talk about. I was at a conference when I heard Pastor Mark Driscoll say something that just really struck me. He said, God has two plans for us. God's plan A is humility. His plan B is humiliation. I thought, oh man, I want to be working so hard on plan A that God doesn't need to move to plan B. You understand? I want to be actively working at cultivating humility. I don't know about you, but I don't wake up humble. I don't just find a crop of humility sprung up overnight. Look at that. I'm just taking the smallest cookie. I'm letting people go first. I'm just cleaning up, you know, messes I find in the bathroom. Humility just blossomed in my life overnight. I have to sow seeds of humility. I have to work at this. This is contrary to my flesh. And don't look at me like it's just me. It's you too. It's you too. This does not come naturally. Now, if you want to know what plan B looks like, I said, I want to be working so hard on plan A that God doesn't need to move to plan B. And remember last night I said, read your Bible, all of it. Read the whole thing. Let me show you an example of the kind of stuff you're missing if you're just living in the Psalms and living in the Gospels and read Ephesians. Those are all good places. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bibles, and I do hope you have a Bible with you. Look at Daniel chapter 4, and I'll show you what plan B looks like. And I try to read through my Bible every year, and every time I get to this, it shakes me. It is sobering every time. Another one reasons that I like reading through the Bible, as you get through 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Kings, you know what some of the best stuff is that you're missing if you're never reading those historical books? Is all the kings and leaders and people that come and go and he raises up one and he puts